Good to be back in God's house tonight. Turn in your Bibles into Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. We're thankful for each one that's made their way back tonight. With so many away and traveling and everything over the holidays and everything, it's good to see the good number out for this evening's service. Good to see visitors with us tonight. We hope you've been made to feel welcome in God's house. Amen. And just trust that you come looking for God to do something and speak to you in your heart and life tonight. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13. The Bible says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Jim Cadle, brother, would you take us to the throne of grace tonight? You may be seated, but you're already seated. Amen. Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount here, and one of the most important lessons that has been taught in the Sermon on the Mount is our place in this world, why we're here, what we've been left here for. You know, Jesus could easily save everybody and then take you on home, but then who would be here to tell everybody about Jesus? Who would be here to do the work and to do what he has intended and what he has planned for us to do while we're here? He says it's our responsibility, it's our obligation, it's our privilege, and it should be our joy to be the salt of the earth and to be the light in a lost and a dying world. If someone doesn't shine the light that shows people the way to Jesus, how are they going to find their way to Jesus? If we don't tell people and we don't show people and we don't live before people Christ in our lives, how are they going to know the difference that Christ can make? So we wonder on Labor Day, why Labor Day? Why is it so important? Because we're here to do a work. We're here to let our light shine. We're here to be a focus that people can see some bit and some piece of Christ in this world. God chose labor for us, and he chose to tell us to go into the fields that are white unto harvest and to do the things we do, that our light might shine in a lost and a dying world. Through our works, people could see Christ. Through the things that we do, Christ might be evident in everything that we do. God chose labor because he appreciates labor. Amen. He himself is a mighty laborer and a great laborer. In Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God had created and made." You see, God is a busy creator. God is a busy being. Amen. He's not just sitting around wringing his hands wondering what's going to happen. God is busy. I don't know how many other worlds God has created. The Bible doesn't say that this is the only one that he's created. Does it anywhere? Amen. I don't know the extent to all that God has done, but I do know this. God is busy. He's busy. He's at work in people's lives. Amen. He's been at work in my life. Amen. He's at work in other people's lives. And God is doing things. God appreciates good work. God does things, and when he does things, he does them well. The Bible says in chapter 1, as you read through the days of creation, that every time that God did something, he looked on what he did, and he saw that it was good. Amen. Amen. He doesn't do half work. He doesn't do shoddy work. He doesn't do mediocre work, but he does the best work, and everything that he has done, he's looked at, and he said it was good. Amen. Amen. I want to share a story with you as I preach tonight. And I got to give David Riggs, a preacher, a credit for this story. I read it and I liked it. And it works so well to point a picture. And you know, I'm a sailor. I was in the Navy. And Sister Sherry, she's a sailor. Brother Harvey, he's a sailor. And I don't know, there might be other sailors amongst us. Pam's son, whom she's so proud of, is a sailor. Amen. There's nothing wrong with being a sailor. It's a good thing. And I like the stories that we read of sailors. And during the Second World War, the USS Astoria was the first U.S. cruiser ship to engage the Japanese during the Battle of Savo Island in World War II. It was a night action fought August 8th and 9th in 1942. And although the Astoria scored two hits on the Imperial flagship Chokai, she was badly damaged and sank shortly before noon on August the 9th. Now, we'll get back to this story all the way through this message tonight, but I want you just to think about that for a minute. Here is a ship that went out to do what she was designed to do, and she gave it her all. Everything she done was good. Amen. Many were sank, but when they went to do what they were called to do, what they were designed to do, they gave it their best. And sometimes you got to give at your best, even though the outcome's not going to be what you think it might be. Amen. They went into battle hoping for the best. They went into battle looking for the best. They were doing the work that they were designed to do and were giving it everything they had, and yet they sustained the damage that caused their ship to sink. That God appreciates labor, and God appreciates good work. Amen. I tell you what, on the job, the boss doesn't come by and look at somebody that's doing shoddy work and say, good job, does he? God said when he looked at the work that he did, it was good. And he expects us when we do the things that we do to do the best that we can, to give it our all, to put our heart into it. Number two, why we should let our light shine, and why he expects us to be busy working, letting that light shine, is God expects us to be industrious because he has given us an example. Amen. We touched on this morning. The Bible says there in Genesis 2:15, and the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. God didn't put man there just to sit around and enjoy all that had been provided for him. God gave man a job the very first thing. Amen. Before he gave him a woman, he gave him a job. Amen. Moms and dads, if your daughter is looking for a man, make sure he has a job first. Amen. It's biblical. Amen. Young ladies, if you're looking for a man and he makes your heart go pitter-potter, make sure he has a job first. You shouldn't be looking at a man if you're not planning on marrying a man. Amen. But if you're looking at him, God's plan is the best plan, and God made sure he had a job before he had a woman. Amen. Amen. That's important. Amen. Because God expects us to be industrious. God gave man a job. He created him in his own likeness and his own image. He placed him in a perfect place, a perfect environment, and yet, though there was no weeds a-growing, there was no thorns and thistles or anything else, God still had a job for him to do. Amen. Amen. And I believe God expects us to do a job. He expects us to be busy. There's satisfaction in looking at the works of your hand and seeing that you've accomplished something. Now, Brother Charles, he can cut the tree down. He can cut it up. He can make wood out of it, and he can build your house, build your furniture. That table in the vestibule, he built it. There's a cabinet here in the bathroom, he built it. And you can ride by some properties and places around here and see some of the work he does. You know, he can take the whole gamut and do the whole thing. Now, some people got to go to the lumber yard, and they got to buy the lumber and do the thing. Some people don't even have the ability to do the thing with the lumber. They do something else and hire somebody else that can do that. But praise God, God expects us to be busy in doing whatever it is that we can do. Amen. Amen. We don't all have the same abilities. Go over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the Bible tells us we're not all the same. We're not all the hand. We're not all the foot. We're not all the eyes. We're not all the ears. But we all have a part, and we all have a place, and there's an important place for all of us, and there's something for all of us to do. And if we're going to let the light of Christ shine, we got to do our job. We got to do what it is that he's given us to do to the best of our ability. You know, we don't realize that what it is that we do affects somebody else somewhere down the line. Brings us back to our story. About 2 o'clock in the morning of that battle that the USS Astoria was in, a young Midwesterner, a single man, third class, by the name of Elgin Staples, was swept overboard by a blast when the Astoria's number one 8-inch gun exploded. Was wounded by shrapnel and the percussion that swept him overboard. And as he was wounded and in shock, he was mindful enough to trigger the mechanism on a simple life vest. And I know Brother Jim probably remembers these. Remembers these. Yeah, a little pack he wore was about this big. I don't know if they still had them when you was in the Navy, Sherry. It was just a little, it was a belt that just went around you. And it had a little pack down here. It was probably about that big, about that wide, about that high. And it had a CO2 charge in it. And when you triggered that thing, it would blow that thing up and you could put the piece over your neck and you had a life vest. Well, Seaman Singleman Staples had a life vest that had been built somewhere, had been provided by someone for that very purpose and that very cause. Everything that you do in life has repercussions. Amen. I was talking to a visitor back there at night, told me he'd worked for Chrysler for many, many years. Joanne worked for Chrysler. Sister Connie worked for Chrysler. There's a multitude of people around this area that work for Chrysler. And everything they done on that assembly line up there had repercussions in people's lives as they rode up and down the road in Chrysler vehicles. Everything that the people done that made this life vest had repercussions in someone's life that they weren't even aware of. Do you realize today that everything that you do, every work that you do for Christ, every work that he has given you and he has put you in a place to be able to do, has an effect on somebody's life somewhere you might not even be aware of it. I remember Sister Nancy was up to State Line Baptist Church, and she went up there for a while. When she came back, she'd give a testimony of a young man that was up there who had come to church here. And I thought everything that I preached was just going in one ear and out the other ear, that young man. Young teenager. So you sit right over about where Joyce is. And thought, well, I'm not getting through to that boy. Nothing I'm saying is making any sense. It's just in one ear and out the other. But he got saved up at State Line Baptist Church. And I never even knew the boy's name. I remember shaking his hand. I remember him being here a few times. But he got up and said, I'm thankful that when I was going down to Charlestown Baptist Church, Pastor Dennis Gilbert preached the truth. Amen. And it spoke to my heart. It ministered to me. I could never get away from that truth. Man, sometimes you don't even know that the work that you're doing has repercussions in people's lives that you've never seen or heard of. Sometimes you're out in the community and you're doing things that people are watching. And people know you, but you don't even know them. Amen. And your actions, the light that you shine in the world, is having a great effect. And what's important is, what are you shining the light on? Are you shining the light on Christ? Are you shining the light on that no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low-down sinner that deserves to be in hell with their back broke? that everybody can see them. See, sometimes when we're out in public, things aren't always going to go the way that we went. I don't think Seaman Staples went to work and went into battle hoping, oh boy, I hope our ship gets sunk today so I can try out my new life vest, my life belt that they give us. Things didn't go quite the way that he was planning on. And things in life don't go the way that we are planning on. But our reaction to the things that we deal with has the greatest effect, just like the actions of those who are making life vests, making life jackets and life belts, have an effect on people who wear them, people who build cars, people who work on the railroad. Amen. Our lives have an effect on people that we're not even aware of. God put us here to be industrious. And if you're going to be industrious, you're going to have an effect on people's lives. Amen. He put us here to work. He left us here to labor. When Jesus told the parable of the master who was going away, he told his servants, he said, tarry ye here till I come. What did he mean? He said, keep on doing the things I've hired you to do. Keep on doing the things I've instructed you to do. Keep busy. Amen. Keep living. Keep going on. Keep producing. Keep whatever it is that I've set you in place to do. And that's the way we are to be. To tarry till he comes. To be busy. It gives fulfillment. It gives peace of mind. It gives hope when you can look around and see the work of your hands and the things that you've done and how industrious you can be and affect people's lives. When we think about why we labor, why us, why me? Why not somebody else? Why did God choose somebody like me? Because he loves people like you. Amen. Amen. When Jesus was choosing his disciples and choosing those who were going to be around him, he didn't choose the religious crowd. Amen. He didn't choose the noble crowd. The nobility, the upper crust. He didn't choose the crowd that thinks they're better than everybody. He chose the working crowd. Amen? Look who he surrounded himself with. Fishermen, tax collectors. You say, well, that's nothing to be proud of. That was a job. Amen? It was a job. He was busy. He was doing something. That they were people that were everyday people, working class people. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 20, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him. And we can see on and on and on. When Jesus was born, his birth was announced to the shepherds, the working class people. Amen. They were the first to hear that a Savior had been born. They were the first that was told that Jesus was born. When it came to his ministry, the first to receive the blessing blessings of Lord, the healing and the changes in their lives were working class people, the plain people that came to Jesus, people that he could use, people that he friended, publicans and sinners. It wasn't an elite crowd. God chose ordinary people to manifest himself with and to manifest himself through. Amen. And he chose you and I for that same reason. He likes people who are going to work. I don't care if you got millions of dollars or if you got no dollars. If you'll let him, he'll use you. He'll work you. He'll let you hold a light. He'll let you hold a candle. Amen. So that others can see the way to Jesus. So that others can find salvation. Others can find hope. He'll allow you to be the salt that helps them to heal and helps them to bring preservation into a world that is rottening with sin. The ground is rotten. The fruit is rotten. Everything is rotten because of sin. But the salt can purify. The salt can cleanse. The salt can preserve what sin is trying to destroy. In Matthew 19, verse 29, we're told it was the working people who were willing to leave everything to follow Jesus. You remember when the young ruler and the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "Master, what must I do to be saved?" He told them to give up the riches. They didn't want to give things up. But those working class people, those people who walked with Jesus and talked with him and seen the things that Jesus had done, were willing to surrender everything. They're those people who weren't afraid to put their backs into something, put their hearts into something, seen something worthy of laboring for, seen something worth letting the light shine for. They were willing to surrender everything. Remember, at 2:00 in the morning, Seaman Staples was swept overboard by the blast from the gun turret as it exploded. Around 6:00 the same morning, Singleman Third Class Elglin Staples was rescued by a passing destroyer and returned to the Astoria, whose captain was attempting to save the cruiser by beaching her. The effort failed, and Staples, still wearing the same life belt, found himself back in the water. This poor guy's having a day, isn't he? Blown in the water. Pulled out of the water, back in the water, but he still got that life belt on. That same one that he had the first time. I can imagine when they got him back to the Astoria, after plucking him out of the water, and he's got this life belt on. It has a strap. The ones we had, you could put it up over your head and inflate it, or you could inflate it and it would then put it over your head, either one. The strap would go around your neck to keep you afloat. And I can imagine maybe they wanting to take that thing from him, and then, oh, no. Oh, no, I'm going to hang on to this sucker for a while. Amen. I'm going to hang on to. We see what happens here. We find out what's going to transpire here. You know, you should always be willing to accept help and to give help when it's needed. But you got to be careful that you don't turn loose of what you've been given. Man, we've been given a precious word. Amen. Well, we've been given great help from the Word of God. We've been given great truth that the world's trying to replace. And we need to stand on this truth, irregardless of what comes and irregardless of what happens in this life. Whenever we do something, we need to make sure that we do it right so that we do something that will last and have a lingering effect. I can preach unto you all kinds of silly little messages that have no effect, but I want to preach something to you that is going to last, something that you'll think about, something that you'll ponder, something that'll speak to your heart and touch your heart and help you to go forward and have something that's going to last. And when you go out and you live your life in the world and you do the work that Christ has called you to do, you need to live a life that has a lasting effect on people's lives. That those people that work around you know that you're a child of God. That those people that live next door to you know that you're a child of God. Do those kids that you go to school with know that you're a child of God? Does the things that you do in life have a lasting effect? Because if they don't have an eternal effect, they won't have a lasting effect. Only that which is done for Christ will last. Just when life will soon be past, only that which is done for Christ will last. Only the eternal God can give eternal benefits to your labor and to what you do. We let our light shine in a lost and a dying world because there's a reward for our labor. Amen. There's a satisfaction, there's a peace that comes about doing a job and doing it well. Man, sometimes you look at a big old gnarly tree and, you know, it's leaning the wrong way and you know you got to cut it down and you start planning. How are you going to take this big old gnarly tree down and get it to fall right and not tear up somebody's house or somebody's building or somebody's car or do something? And man, I've seen some things on YouTube and stuff of people cutting trees down. Guy cutting tree down and drops it right on his brand new truck, and you know, people dropping them on houses. And you know, when you take time and you plan things out and you do the job right and you get it on the ground, you look back and say, good job. Amen. You do something difficult, you're facing a difficult obstacle, a difficult task, and you get it completed. You know, you kids, you're in school. That's your job. And man, you take a hard test and you get through the test and you get a passing grade. You go, whew, made it. When you get a good passing grade, you're ecstatic. Amen. And when the teacher writes something positive on the top of your paper, says great job or something like that, man, you're just really proud of the work that you did. Why? Because there's a reward for our labor and the satisfaction that it brings to our souls. But there's a reward for the labor that we put forth for the cause of Christ and souls that are won, lives that are changed. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says, now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. One man sows a seed. Amen. You know what I'm doing here, pastor, in this church? I'm just watering what somebody has already sown. Amen. When it was determined in somebody's mind to organize and start the Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church, a seed was planted, amen, for a church to grow. And since that time, there have been various pastors here before me that have watered, that have hoed, that have weeded, and that have labored on this ground to see fruit for the kingdom of Christ, amen, to see fruit that would grow to his glory in His honor, and we don't stand here and we don't do this and we don't take credit for anything in and of ourselves, but we give Christ the glory. We give Christ the honor. We give Christ everything that is accomplished, every soul that's been saved, every life that has been changed, every eternal thing that has made a difference in this world is because of Christ and Him alone. Why? Because we're just laborers together with God. We're just doing what God has instructed us to do. You know, I worked for Amtrak for 37 and a half years. And I run an equipment shop. But you know what? I had a boss. And I answered to my boss. But you know what? My boss had a boss. And he answered to his boss. And sometimes I would ask my boss about doing things and about the way we were going to do things. And he'd say, hold on, let me check on that, because he had to check with his boss to find out if his boss was all right for my boss to let me do the boss in the way I wanted the boss in the shop that I was in. And Brother Steve, he's a manager at Amtrak, and he's a boss. But guess what? He's got a whole bunch of bosses that he answers to. We got to understand that none of us are important or any more important than anyone else. We all have a part in producing something. We all have a part in building something. We all have a part in doing something. But Romans 14:7 says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Amen? We're in this as a partnership. First, with Christ, we're laborers together with God, then one another for the glory of God. Why? So that we can let a light shine. So that we can be a help to somebody along the way. At close to 12 noon, after being thrown back in the water, Navy Seaman Staples was picked up again, this time by the USS President Jackson. He is one of the 500 survivors of the battle who were evacuated to Nomea. Safely on board the ship for the first time, Staples closely examined the life belt that had served him so well. And he found out it had been manufactured by the Firestone Tire and Rubber Company of Akron, Ohio, and it bore a registration number. And as he looked at that, he took time to examine it. We need to examine those things. We need to get into the Word of God and examine what God has provided for us. There's a lot of information there if you take the time to look. It was just a life belt when he put it on. But after it had served him so well, keeping him afloat in the water, a couple of times he wanted to know a little more about it. And he found out who made it. And he found out that it had its own peculiar registration number. Take time to look at what's in God's Word. There's things in there every time you open its pages that God can show you that are brand new. Because they can help you to hold a light up high. They can help you to continue to keep a light shine. They can keep you afloat when the storms of life come and they wash you overboard. The storms of life try to destroy you. Be thankful for what you've been given. We've been given a word of truth. We've been given a plan of salvation. We've been given a hope that goes beyond the grave. But then remember who it is that we're laboring for. On December 7th, 1941, America was attacked unprovoked. The USS Astoria, as she entered into battle, was there for a purpose: to restore and protect the honor of a nation that had created her. Sometimes we go through this life as Christians and we forget who it is that we're living for. We forget our purpose here is to lift him up. Jesus said, If I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something, and I've said it a million times. It's not about Charlestown Baptist Church. It's about Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not about the preacher or the members here. It's about Jesus Christ. Our purpose and our goal is to uplift Jesus. And you say, well, why are we uplifting Jesus? Because he's the light of the world. Amen. Amen. We talk about holding up the light. That light is Jesus. Man, I'm Baptist by conviction. But I don't have to be a Baptist to hold the light up. And if the Baptists, and some of them have, gone awry, going south, going whatever you want to call it, they're going off the wrong end of the pier. And if they all want to go that way, I'll quit being a Baptist, but I'll never quit being a Christian. I'll quit identifying with the Baptist, but I'll never quit identifying with Christ. It's my duty, it's my obligation, it's my privilege to lift up Jesus before a lost and a dying world. The Apostle Paul said, if anybody preach another gospel than the gospel that I preach, what gospel is that? Pastor, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the salvation of man. He said, if any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. The Apostle Paul said, I don't come to preach anything else but Christ and him crucified. Amen. That's the message. That's our goal, is to lift him up and to remember who it is that we are working for. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Amen. Let's remember who it is that we're working for. It's Jesus Christ. Him crucified. Him uplifted. To honor him in all we do. Every work and every labor that we put forth should be to honor Christ. Whatever we think of as being preeminent in our church and in our service and in our lives as we leave this church, it ought to be Christ. Amen? When the world sees you on Monday to Saturday, they should see Christ, just like you expect them to see on Sunday. When you speak in the world on Monday to Saturday, the world should hear Christ, just like they should on Sunday. It ought to be Christ, 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 Christ. We need to be salt and light on Monday through Saturday, just like we try to be on Sunday when we dress up to come to church. Given home leave, Navy Seaman Staples told his story and asked his mother, who worked for Firestone, about the purpose of the number on the belt. She replied that the company insisted on personal responsibility for the war effort, and that the number was unique and assigned to only one individual. Staples remembered everything about that safety belt that he'd wore, that life belt. He remembered where it was made, who had made it, and he remembered the very registration number on that belt. And when he shared it with his mother, she looked at him and said, "That's my number. That's the very belt that I inspected. That's the very belt that I certified was going to save someone's life." Had no idea that it would be her own son. Do you suppose that Mrs. Staples was glad that she had taken the time to do a good job, to put forth her best effort, and to make sure that what she put her hands to was going to be sufficient and the best for those who would be receiving it? Sometimes you don't realize the ramifications of what you do. Parents, sometimes you don't realize the little things that you do have a big effect in your children's lives down the road that you weren't even aware of. You don't even remember doing it, but you done what was right. You stood for what was right. You lived what was right. You tried to be what was right. Church, you don't realize. Christian, you don't realize the impact that living right, the impact that holding up the light and letting that light shine has in a lost and a dying world. You never know who will be helped or hindered by the actions that you take. So as you go forth into the world, and as you see the fields white unto harvest, and as you labor for the master, strive to do what will have a lasting effect in people's lives to help them and not hinder them. Let your testimony be such as speaks of Christ and Him crucified. I don't know about you, but I hope to hear one day those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Did I do a good job? Did I strive to uplift Christ? Heads bowed, eyes closed as we stand to our feet tonight. Our altar is open.